The third Sunday after Easter, the epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires which war against the soul. Behave yourself honorably among the pagans, that whereas they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as sent through him for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise of the good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as free men, yet not using your freedom as a cloak for malice, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters in all fear, not only to the good and the moderate, but also to the severe. This is indeed a grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while and you shall see me no longer, and a little while you shall see me because I go to the Father." Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, "What is this that he says to us, 'A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, and I go to the Father'?" They kept saying therefore, "What is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he's saying." But Jesus knew that they wished to ask him, and he said to them, "You inquire about this amongst yourself, because I said, 'A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me.' Amen, amen, I say to you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. A woman about to give birth has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has brought forth the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for her joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Oftentimes, after Mass, someone will ask a question about the liturgy or something like the vestiture that we're wearing. And sometimes people will ask, "What is that thing, that little piece of vestment that hangs on your arm?" And you take it off to preach, and it's there on the missal right now. And that is called the maniple. The maniple. It was made optional in 1967, and so, as you know, when it becomes optional, it's not used anymore. But it dates back to at least the 6th century. That's the first reference that we have to this item. And it stems from the Roman practice of the mappa, or mappula, which is actually like a handkerchief or towel they used to carry in their hand. The Romans would, you know, like back in the day, people used to carry a handkerchief in their pocket. Well, the Romans would carry it in their hand or put it over their arm. And it was a little bigger than a handkerchief. And there's reference to this, that the priest would have this for Mass. Now, whether it was actually used as the handkerchief, or whether it was already, you know, part of the symbolism of the Mass is debated. Some liturgists, of course, the ones who say that it's really, we don't need to use it, would probably say that it was used as a handkerchief. Others might say no. By even from the very beginning, it always had this symbolic meaning of the mappa or mappulum. Now, you know, everything that we wear, and to get an understanding of what it means, we can look at some of the prayers associated with it. So when the priest vests, he says a prayer for every sacred item he puts on. And so there's a prayer for the maniple. And it's this: "May I be worthy to bear the maniple of weeping and sorrow, so that with exultation I may receive the reward of labor." And in the new ordination Mass, when the bishop hands over the maniple to the ordinandi, he says, "Receive the maniple by which the fruit of good works is designated." And so by these two prayers, we can see the basic symbolism of the maniple is that it was at least symbolized that like a towel or a handkerchief, that it was used as symbolically to wipe away tears, the weeping and the sweat, the difficulty of the work. You wipe your brow with the maniple, but it symbolizes this, that the work and the difficulties that we have in this world. This and then also, I should say, it also has a symbolism referring to Psalm 125 in the Douay, the numbering in the Douay Rheims. And this is where we actually get the word maniple from the Latin. And this is Psalm 125. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Going, they wept, casting seeds, but coming, they shall come with joyfulness, carrying their sheaves, that is the sheaves of wheat, carrying a sheave of wheat. And that word, their sheaves, the word sheaves in Latin is maniple. Maniplos, that's the plural. That's where we get maniple from, the sheave of wheat. So all these things symbolize or point to the maniple, and that's what we should be thinking about. And this ties in, of course, with our Lord in today's gospel. He's talking to the apostles and saying, and remember, this is at the Last Supper. He's about to be crucified, and so the world will rejoice. He says, a little while you will not see me, and a little while you will. Referring on one level to his crucifixion, you're not going to see me. And then you will, and then your joy will have, you know, no one can take that from you. The world will rejoice. Why? Because he's been crucified. But also on another level, for us, it refers to our life in this world. That our life is, as we say in the Hail, Holy Queen, a veil of tears. It is a difficult life. And this maniple symbolizes that we do the work of the Lord. The world may rejoice. They rejoice in their sins and their impurities. But we fight against it. It is the work for us. And that's what this represents. We wipe our brow and dry our tears. And this is what we, at least for our Lord's words, what we should think about. The world rejoices, and in a little while you will have sorrow. And then, if you're found worthy, of course, and you go to heaven, then you will have joy and no one can take that from you. And so there's a double meaning in today's gospel, and it also ties with the symbolism of the maniple. Now, the maniple means more than that. That's what it means for us as baptized. But here specifically, it also refers to Christ. You know, our Lord says, unless the grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it doesn't bring forth fruit. And so if you recall from the Psalms, it talks about that. They go out spreading their seeds and then they come with their sheaves of wheat, their fruit. And so we should also remind us of that Christ, the grain of wheat, dies. And this is now tying it directly into what's happening here at the Mass. The sacrifice of Christ, that he dies so that he can bring forth good fruit. He weeps. He is in sorrow. He's the man of tears. He sweats blood. And this is the work that he does. Why? To bring forth the good fruit. What is that? Us. Our salvation. Our holiness. And so this also symbolizes that. What's going on directly on the altar. And then even more specifically, we should remember that this is... then should remind us of the Mass, not the sacrifice of the cross 2,000 years ago, but then also the Mass. Exactly what's happening here is that the sacrifice is being continued for all of us to be present at. And now this brings in a deeper meaning or a deeper significance of the maniple, and that is that it is not really a towel. You know, if you look at it, it's silk, it has gold embroidery, it's made beautiful, and it has no real use as a towel. I'm not going to wipe my forehead with it, because it's not its purpose. Its purpose is to be beautiful and to not be used. And why is that? Because it's just a symbolic, it's just a symbol. Well, it's also more than that. It's to remind us that at the sacrifice we're at. It is the unbloody sacrifice. We don't need a towel at this sacrifice. You know, if anyone's ever seen The Passion of the Christ, there's a very poignant scene after the scourging of our Lord, where Our Lady is given some towels, and she very sorrowfully mops up the blood of Christ that is there in the square from the scourging. And that's Christ's sacrifice, His spilling of blood. There's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And Christ shed that blood for us 2,000 years ago. He went through that great sorrow, that great difficulty. He wept tears of blood. He sweat and suffered for us. And the towel was necessary then. Veronica wipes His face during the way of the cross. When they take our Lord down from the cross, they clean His body, they wipe His body, and wrap it in linen. And so all of that we should be reminded of when we look at the maniple. For here and now, we don't have that. This is the unbloodied, this is the clean oblation. It is tied back to that, and it's a continuation of that, but here it is unbloody. We don't need a towel. And so all of these meanings of the maniple should come to us. In particular, if you notice, I take the maniple off. When at the beginning of Mass we did the asparagus, I sprinkled the faithful with holy water, the maniple is not on. And if you watch closely at other times during the year when we do a blessing before Mass or after Mass, the maniple comes off. Why? Because the maniple specifically signifies the sacrifice or the continuation of the sacrifice. This is why I've taken it off now when I preach, because this is not part of the sacrifice. This is the preaching. This is why when we do the asparagus, it's not on, because that's not part of the sacrifice. And so all of these meanings of the maniple should remind us of, you know, our sorrow, our difficulties here in this life, but that we will be rewarded at the end of time. We should be reminded of our Lord and His sufferings during His crucifixion. And then we should also be reminded of the actual sacrifice that's occurring here on the altar for us. Why? So that at the end of our life, at the end of this veil of tears, that we would go to heaven if we're found worthy. And when, if we were, then we would have that joy, the joy that Christ promises that has no end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.